Name Productions. Many brothers and sisters ask that we are living in a world today where there is many, many problems. They say, what is our position in our current life? What should we do? How should we do it? When should we do it? What is our stance as Muslims in our current catastrophes? The answer is very, very simple. The answer is very, very easy. And we know that whenever we want information, news, that the most authentic news is in no other than the glorious, perfect, excellent word, the uncreated word of the Almighty Lord, the noble Quran. There you will find genuine, authentic facts, news. Instead of watching CNN or Fox or any other garbage, gibberish news on television, the news is in the word of the Almighty Lord. So what is our position today? What should we do today? What should be our stance today? Let us reflect and contemplate upon a beautiful, perfect verse in Surah Al-Ahzab, verse number 35. The Almighty Lord said, إن المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات والقانتين والقانتات والصادقين والصادقات والصابرين والصابرات والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما. Translated, for Muslim men and women, for believing men and women, for devout men and women, for true men and women, for men and women who are patient and constant, for men and women who humble themselves, for men and women who give in charity, for men and women who fast, for men and women who guard their chastity, and for men and women who engage much in the remembrance of the Almighty Lord, for them, Allah Ta'ala said, we will grant them forgiveness and a great reward. This is our stance. This is our position. You want victory? You want salvation? You want successfulness in the life of this world and the life of the next? The Almighty Lord has given you the key, the solution, the way you should be, O believer, O Muslim, O Qanit, O Khashir. Allah Ta'ala has given you the genuine fact of how you can attain victory, of what you should be doing today. And as we heard, that this beautiful verse addresses both men and women. So it's not only to men, both men and women in the message of the Quran can acquire good qualities and good deeds. For indeed, the blessings of Allah Ta'ala and His reward is for all those people who obey Him, whether they are men or women. It's not only for men, it's for both men and women. So these qualities in this beautiful verse summarize for all humanity, for all jinn, the noble Islamic character. Let us reflect upon one by one. And this is the victory. This is salvation. If you implement each one of these qualities, you have implemented salvation. You have invited successfulness. You have invited victory inside your life, in the life of this world and in the next. Innal muslimina wal muslimat. for every Muslim man and woman. Now, we hear the word all the time, Muslim. I'm a Muslim, you say. Oh, what religion are you? I'm a Muslim. But what is a Muslim? A Muslim is a person who continuously and all the time submits, surrenders, and gives himself up from A to Z, from start to end, to the Almighty Lord. This is the meaning of Islam. It's submission to the one Creator with absolute obedience to His law. We must adopt the whole of Islam. If you want to be called a Muslim, you as a Muslim, to be called a Muslim, you must adopt all of Islam. All of it. You do not adopt one part, I do not like the other part, I'm going to chuck it out the window. No. There is a fault, a deficiency. Your Muslim, your status as a Muslim is diminished. It dies slowly and slowly until there's no Muslim in your life. No Islam in your life. We must adopt the Aqidah and the Ahkam. You do not leave the Ahkam and take the Aqidah, or take the Aqidah and leave the Ahkam, which is its rulings. No, you open your arms wide for the Ahkam, for the Aqidah. Social matters, the Islamic social matters, economics, politics, all of it. Say, with your door open in your home, open your front door, tafaddal ya Islam, into my home. Tafaddal, enter and embrace it with your arms. And how do you cater for this Islam? Do you cater by putting a cup of drink for it? And a piece of chocolate cake? No. The way you cater for this word, for this deen, is by implementation. This is the way you cater for Islam. Not by saying, I'm a Muslim, sit down and relax. No. You cater for Islam by implementing all of Islam. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu dukhulu fi silmi kaffa. Wa la tattabi'u khutuwati shaitan. Innahu lakum aduun mubin. Oh, you who believe, the Almighty Lord is addressing us, because we are all believers, are we not? So, all you who believe, enter in Islam completely, all of Islam, and do not follow the footsteps of Shaitan, for indeed he is nothing but a clear, explicit enemy to you. So when you open the door for Islam, in your home, you do not allow, after Islam enters, the footsteps of Satan to follow. And the footsteps of Satan, if they follow, that means you are going to be taking what you want, what you desire, and throwing out what you don't want, out the window. So you make sure when you enter Islam, in your home, close the door and prevent that devil, that Shaitan, Satan, the accursed, from following that Islam. And enter Islam with full embracement. This is Islam. You get many brothers who I've heard recently criticizing the Christians. Why do they criticize the Christians? They say they are only Christians for one day a week. Every Sunday. Sunday Mass. Where they have their bread and wine. The wine is supposed to be the blood of Jesus. And the bread is supposed to be the flesh of Jesus. Flesh shibra'aftum. Anyway, they criticize the Christians, saying that they're only Christians for one day, while the same Muslims, they are only Muslims in Ramadan. When Ramadan comes, I'm a Muslim. They embrace all of Islam. They start praying. They fast, they stop theft, they stop drinking alcohol, they stop smoking hash, they stop doing evil, only in this month. But when this month is over, alhamdulillah, I felt imprisoned, I was locked up, And they go jump from one sin to another. And Ramadan comes, they feel a burden on them. Oh, Ramadan's going to come. I better prepare myself for it. Have they entered Islam completely? No. Are they Muslims? No. Because, ادخلوا في السلم كافة. They did not enter Islam completely. They are nothing but liars. This is the first quality which you can attain salvation. Very clear. إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ. The first quality. For every Muslim man and woman. وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. The second quality comes now. For every believing man and woman. A believer, a mu'min, is a person who has faith. He lives with and in faith. Not only has faith, he lives with and in faith. And a mu'min is a person with full conviction and certainty of the heart. We know that Islam is submission in the outward sense, while iman is in the inward sense, external, internal. It is the deeper aspect of Islam. It is to have full certainty, full belief, love in the body, mind and soul for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a believer, in better words, is a person who abides by the commands of Allah ta'ala and abstains, pushes away, puts a barrier between him and his prohibitions. The tribe of Azad came to Medina, an Arab Bedouin tribe. And when they came to Medina, they embraced Islam. They embraced Islam. After embracing Islam, they requested from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam charity, money, claiming that they were true believers as the believers that fought alongside and suffered alongside Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the situation. They just embraced Islam. And they're claiming to be as strong as those who had fought and suffered alongside Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As you can see, it's a presumptuous claim on their part. So the Almighty Lord told Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to rebuke them. قالت الأعراب آمنا كل لم تؤمنوا وقولوا أسلمنا ولما يدخل الإيمان في قلوبهم. The Arab, the Bedouin said, we believe, we truly believe. Allah says, say that you have not believed, but say instead, we have submitted. We have submitted formally to Islam. And yet the faith has not entered your heart. When does it enter your heart? When does it enter your heart? What does a mu'min mean? A mu'min is a Muslim, but not every Muslim is a mu'min. When are you a mu'min? When you know that fornication is haram, I withdraw from it. When you know that alcohol is haram, I withdraw from it. When you know that theft is haram, murder is haram, slander is haram, lying is haram, I withdraw from it. This is a mu'min. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said clearly in a beautiful narration, I swear by Allah ta'ala, he does not believe. The companions asked, O Prophet of Allah, who does not believe? He said, the one from whose harm his neighbor is not safe. And another occasion he said, the fornicator is not a believer while committing fornication. Nor is the wine drinker a believer while drinking. Nor is the thief a believer while committing theft. Nor is a murderer a believer when committing murder. And we know the many narrations, you cannot truly believe until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. When you love for your brother what you love for yourself, you can be called a mu'min. So if you're hungry at home, and your neighbor who's a Muslim brother of yours or sister is hungry and you've eaten with your big belly, after you've had your big meal, and you know your next door neighbor is hungry, or your Muslim brother or sister is hungry, and you don't aid that person while you're able to aid him, you are not a mu'min. You could be a Muslim, but you are not a mu'min. Because you have not love for your brother what you love for yourself. You have not love for your brother what you love for yourself. And this is iman. This is iman. The third quality. وَالْقَانِتِينَ وَالْقَانِتَاتِ. And al-qunut is a devout, a humbly devout person, you can say. It means to be always aware of Allah Ta'ala. It means obedience and worship in the most humble way. In other words, you are always humble. You're always aware of Allah Ta'ala. When you eat, when you drink, when you stand, when you sit, when you sleep, when you awaken, when you work, when you play, when you do anything, you know that Allah Ta'ala is there. Thus, you are fully aware that you do not do anything that Allah Ta'ala does not like. Thus, you are a qanit, you are a muhsin. And this is in a narration of the great famous hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, when Jibril asked Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is ihsan? And what did he reply with? He said, ihsan is to worship Allah ta'ala as though you see him. Though you do not see him, he sees you. Imagine a person that worships Allah ta'ala in this manner. Now, brothers and sisters, can you imagine when you pray that you worship Allah ta'ala knowing for certainty that Allah is looking at you now? How would you act? Would you be able to commit fornication? When you know for certainty that Allah is watching you? You believe Allah is watching you? You are aware of this? You are a qanit, a muhsin? Would you commit fornication? Would you commit theft? Would you slander? Would you backbite? You will not. Because you'll be too scared. Knowing the Almighty Lord is looking at what you are doing. This is how we should be. Every Muslim, male or female, we should be all aware of this. We should be all qanit, which is to be a devout worshipper, aware of the Almighty Lord at all times. The fourth quality, وَالصَّادِقِينَ وَالصَّادِقَاتِ. And a sadiq, as you all know, a sadiq is a truthful person with sincerity. Are you a Muslim? Alhamdulillah. Are you a mu'min? Alhamdulillah. Are you a qa'id? Alhamdulillah. Are you a sadiq? Inshallah. Would you like to be called a liar? Because if you're not a sadiq, you're a liar. You're either a sadiq or you're a liar. And a Muslim is not a liar. A Muslim is not a liar. He's a sadiq. He's a truthful person. And this is what sadiq means. Truthfulness and honesty together. And every single Muslim, brothers and sisters, they are truthful people. Muslims do not lie. Why? Because it's a sign of hypocrisy. Whatever comes out of your mouth, make sure it is truthfulness that Allah loves, that Allah is pleased with. Otherwise, you will be called a liar. And we know the great narration that mentions about how good truthfulness is. إِنَّ الصِّدْقَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْبِرِّ وَالْبِرِّ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَإِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَصْدُقَ حَتَّى يُكْتَبَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ صِدِّيقًا. Truthfulness leads to piety, and piety leads to paradise. And a man persists on speaking the truth until he is enrolled with Allah Ta'ala as a truthful person. Would you not like to be called on the Day of Judgment, Ya Sadiq, Ya Siddiq, O truthful person, come? And many people today, all you hear on their tongue is lies. Brothers and sisters, we are Muslims. We are not allowed to lie. Why lie for? What are you going to get out of lying? It's a sign of hypocrisy. It's filth. It's abomination. It's dirty. That which comes out of your mouth, if it's a lie, it's filth. Why lie for? People will never trust you. People will not like you. People will hate you when you lie. And when you lie and lie and lie, you are known to be a liar after that. Because Allah will make it known of you. So why lie? Would you not like to be an honest person? A truthful person? This is the attribute, the quality of a Muslim. Do not lie. Because it's not going to help you, it's going to hurt you. Let every utterance that you utter be a word of truth. قُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Say a word of truth, a good word. And Allah Ta'ala will forgive your sins. The fifth quality, وَالصَّابِرِينَ وَالصَّابِرَاتِ. And a sabr, what a beautiful quality this is. It means patience and perseverance. Sabr means patience, steadfastness and perseverance. And the Muslims are patient people, are very patient people, especially in the case situations of difficulties. They do not go crazy. They do not rip their hair out. They do not tear their clothes. They do not start wailing or crying loud. They say, Alhamdulillah. They do not lose their aqidah, nor do they lose their principles under pressures or challenges. You are a Muslim, you say, Alhamdulillah. Wa matter what confronts me, good, bad, Alhamdulillah, tafaddal. Why? Because you know this is all an examination. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Surely we shall test you with something of fear, hunger, loss of wealth, life and fruits, and give glad tidings to those who are patient. What a beautiful attribute this is. What a beautiful characteristic to have. Those who are patient, they will go a far, far way. And we know Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived a life of patience, perseverance. He used to sleep on a reed mat. A reed mat made out of leaves. And when he stood up, that reed mat would mark his body. Abdullah said one day, Ibn Mas'ud, Ya Rasulullah, allow us to make something comfortable for you to sleep on. He looked at him and said, Ya Abdullah, what have I to do with this world? What have I to do with this world? I am no more than a traveler, a rider who seeks shade underneath a tree. Rest for a little while, then wakes up and continues his journey. He does not want to be comfortable. Why? Because this is not his life. He does not care about this life. What a beautiful person. What an excellent creature. What a beautiful example to follow. What a beautiful example to follow. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No, today we've got to have our king size. Our queen size. Make sure it's waterbed. Don't forget the waterbed, he says. She says, no, make sure it's 3 mattresses, not 2. 3 mattresses, extra comfort. Extra comfort. Yeah, she doesn't want to mark her body, and he does not want to mark his body. He wants to come up, akhdahari. Akhdahari, because when you sleep on such beauty and luxury, your back is going to hurt you. But wallahi, when you sleep on the ground, you get up like a man. You get up like a man. Your back is strong. This is reality. You sleep on the ground, you got to get used to it first. Probably the first couple of times, you're going to get a sore back. But after a while, believe me, your back, your spine, it is the most healthiest way to sleep. And this is medically true, is it not? That when you sleep on something hard, it's better for your back because your back does not sort of sway. Does not sort of curve. You might be a hunchback at the age of 30. By sleeping on those queen-size luxuries, the wavy beds with the water in it. You know, they say you have to have the groovy in, so you can really think when you dream. You know, when you dream, you're in a world of waves. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. When Umar ibn Khattab entered the Prophet's room, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw no cupboards, no luxury, hamakallah, nothing to sit on, no fruits, no dessert, no nothing. He sat on the floor and looked at him and said, Ya Rasulullah. He started crying, Umar ibn Khattab. He started crying. He said, Oh Prophet of Allah, what have you got? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Umar, what makes you cry? He said, Oh Prophet of Allah, the Roman king, the Persian king, their seats, their thrones is made out of pearls and gold and silver and rubies. Their clothes is silk and gold. Well, you are the best of creatures chosen by the Almighty Lord. Look at how they're living. And look how you're living. You know what the Prophet said? Did he say, great, God gave me the luxuries? No. He said, Umar, with a smile. Doesn't it suffice us that for us is the hereafter and for them is this world and only this world? It's their paradise. Let them have it. We don't want it. We want eternal bliss and not temporary, basic, minute bliss. Because this is all it is in this life. Minute, a bit of enjoyment. That's all there is. And that enjoyment gets forgotten as soon as one dip in hellfire that happens to them. One dip, all the excitement and enjoyment in this life. One dip in paradise, all the hardship, the burden that you went through, O Muslim, you forget all about it. That was the fifth quality. Number six. وَالْخَاشِعِينَ وَالْخَاشِعَاتِ Those who have fear. It's a al-khushu' is to have great awe and reverence for Allah Ta'ala. And khushu' is a deep respect and fear in the heart for Allah Ta'ala. And those who have khushu', fear of Allah Ta'ala, you will not see them arrogant, nor would they be people of pride or boastfulness. They're the most humble people on earth. You witness this. Those who have khushu', who fear Allah Ta'ala in their hearts, wallahi, you will not see them in a state of boastfulness, arrogance, pride, or anything else. You will see them very, very humble. They could own millions of dollars. They could own millions of assets. They could be the highest of ranks. But if they have khushu' in their hearts, you will find them like eating a piece of chocolate cake. It's so easy to talk to them. They actually belittle themselves in front of you. Because why? Because they fear the Almighty Lord. A narration that was mentioned to us by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an incident in the past and future, when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a man among the nations before you, who Allah granted property and offspring, a lot of property and a lot of offspring, he said to his children before he died, I want you to do exactly as I tell you. Otherwise, I will make others my inheritors if you do not do what I mentioned to you. He said to them, when I die, I want you to burn my corpse, throw half of the ashes over the land, and the other half of the ashes in the sea, in the ocean. For if Allah were to catch me, He will punish me a punishment like He will not punish anyone else. For I have no merits pleasing Allah Ta'ala. So when this person died, his children did exactly as they were commanded. Then the Almighty Lord, when He commanded the ocean, when He commanded the land to gather the ashes, He asked this person to why he committed such a crime. He said, Oh Lord, I committed it out of fear of you, and you are well aware of this. What was the reason? Fear. F-E-A-R. He was scared of Allah Ta'ala. And fear is a act of worship. A strong act of worship. A great act of worship. And what did the Almighty Lord say? For this, I have pardoned you and made him among the people of paradise. The seven who were shaded on the day of resurrection by the shade of the Almighty Lord. There will be seven people shaded on that day. One of those people is a person whom an extremely beautiful, gorgeous, pretty lady seduces. when she seduces him for no other than illicit relationship, illicit relations, what did he say to her? She came to him and said, look, I'm for you. And don't forget the type of girl she was. She was of high rank, of beauty. She was very pretty, extremely gorgeous. She was a rose, in essence. A red rose that smelled like musk. But what did he say? He said, tafaddali? No. He said, a'udhu billah. A'udhu billah. Yes, indeed, I fear Allah Ta'ala. What did he say, Ya Ashraf? Indeed, I fear Allah Ta'ala. And he, subhanAllah, would anyone today of us, let us just imagine it. Don't imagine the full story. Let us imagine it. Would any one of us today, if he was in reality confronted with this lady of high rank, of such beauty, would he say this? That's why on the day of resurrection, he will be shaded by the throne of the Almighty Lord, when the sun will be close to the people's heads, when people will be sweating so much that they'll be drowning in their sweat. But this type of person who rejected his lust, his desire, his whim, in order to please his Lord, out of fear of his Lord, he said, go away, you filthy thing. No matter how cute you are, I'm not allowed to touch you because I am a servant of the Almighty Lord. Thus, a servant is a Muslim, mu'min, qanit, sadiq, sabir, khashir. Khashir. A person who fears him. Likewise, who can tell me what is the best tear drop? The one that drops a tear out of fear of Allah Ta'ala. That is one of the most beloved drops to the Almighty Lord. The one that cries and drops a tear while contemplating the great Creator, the great Maker, the Magnificent, the Almighty, the Sovereign, the Leader, the King of Kings, the Judge of Judges. When he thinks of Allah Ta'ala, the power in Allah Ta'ala, the Almighty in Allah Ta'ala, he's in solitude, he's isolated. A drop comes down from his eyes. Allahu Akbar. What a beautiful person in the sight of the Almighty Lord. And have we ever woken up at the last third of night and thought of this? Yani, just try it one day, brothers and sisters. Wake up the last third of the night and say, I'm going to, inshallah, drop a tear tonight for Allah's sake. Try, push yourself. If you can't, push harder. If you can't, just try anyway. Try. And you might. See how much you really are scared of Allah Ta'ala. Believe me, you will not regret it. The next day, your day will be beautiful. You'll feel comfortable. You'll feel a tranquility, an umbrella over you of tranquility raining down. You know how an umbrella is? And the umbrella is to prevent rain, correct? Water. But this umbrella is just dripping on you. It's a dripper, a dripper. You know the drips in the hospitals? It drips on you. Tranquility. Wallahi, it's true. That's a person who drops a tear out of fear of the Almighty Lord. Number seven. Al-Mutasaddiq. Wal-Mutasaddiqina wal-Mutasaddiqat. What does Mutasaddiq mean? He's a person who is generous, who gives in charity. And we all know that the Muslims are charitable people because they care for other people. They love their brothers and sisters. Bro, you need a car for the weekend? Take it. You're in need of it. I'm not. Take it. Brother, I got an extra $10 here. Do you need it? Take it. He's a believer. You know, when your brother comes to you and say, look, bro, he's giving you hints. I need to get something, I need to do something, but I can't. He gives you hints. He's trying to tell you he's in need, but he's too shy. What do you do? Oh, no, not today, I've got nothing. Oh, he's got these sick, he's got to steal me. No. You say, bro, don't ask him. Faddal, the green note. The green note. If they make a purple note, the purple note. They might make a $1,000 note in the future. So give him the 1,000 note. Because you love for your brother what you love for yourself. And this is والمتصدقين والمتصدقات, those who are generous. Muslims do not just concern themselves or look at themselves only. They look at the concerns of others. They love their brothers. They love their sisters. They look at their problems, their calamities. They try to aid them because they're generous. They're people that want to help. This is a Muslim, a believer. And that's how we should be, brothers and sisters. We should not be stingy, selfish misers. No. We should be people who are almsgiving. We give. We allow. And this is a believer. He is a charitable person. Do not be greedy. Do not be stingy. For that money that you own is not your money. Wallahi, it's not your money. At the end of the day, you've only borrowed that money from the Almighty Lord for a limited time. And Allah Ta'ala has lent you that money to see what you are going to do with this money. And no other. If you utilize it the way He pleases, you'll get highly rewarded. But if you utilize it the way you please, you don't care whether it displeases Him or not, then you are going to suffer. And it's going to decrease and diminish in the value. But when you give 1 cent in charity, Allah Ta'ala will make your money grow and grow and grow. How many people give zakat? They're probably counted on the fingertips. How many people give optional zakat, optional charity? They're hard to find. And they're the ones that are happy people. The ones that are charitable people are the ones that are happy people. And we know on a day of resurrection, another one that will be shaded is the one that gives with the right hand, whereby his left hand does not know what his right hand has given. And he will be shaded on the day of resurrection by the Almighty Lord's throne. Number 8. Where's number 8, Sophie? والصائمين والصائمات. Did you not memorize the verse in the start? استغفر الله العظيم. والصائمين والصائمات. And a saim is a person who fasts. And we know that the Muslims, and fasting means linguistically to abstain and control. To abstain and control. And we know Muslims fast every month of Ramadan, the days of the 13, 14, 15 of each month. They fast, some of them, every Monday and Thursdays of every week. Some fast every second day. But in reality, how should a Muslim fast? When should a Muslim fast? Every Ramadan only? Every 3 days a month only? Every 2 days a month only? Or every second day, as Dawood, Prophet Dawood did, only? Is that the best way of fasting? Is the best way of fasting? Whoever can correctly answer this question will get a reward, inshallah ta'ala. Mondays and Thursdays? Anyone else? Every second day? The scholars have differed. We have not come to a consensus. Ya Muhammad Khudur. تك العافية. جزاك الله خير. أكرمك الله وأحسن الله إليك. تفضل يا أزد. You had your hand up. The same one, mate. Not a problem, buddy. The best way to fast is every single day. But why is it every single day? What am I referring to when Allah says, وَالصَّائِمِينَ وَالصَّائِمَاتِ? What does fasting mean? It is not only to abstain from food, drink, and sexual intercourse. Ali, it is to abstain from indecency, obscenity, mischief, evil, wickedness. This is fasting. This is fasting. You can fast by being silent, as Maryam did, as Zachariah did, mentioned in Ali Imran. Fasting is to keep away from everything that the Almighty Lord mentioned. And this is what I'm after, Ya Muhammad Khudr. Your fasting is correct, but I wasn't after that fast. So fasting here refers to abstain from everything that the Almighty Lord dislikes, is displeased with. And as Muslims, we should fast every second of our life. In this terminology, in this definition. Number 9. Ya Subhi. وَالْحَافِظِينَ فُرُوجَهُمْ وَالْحَافِظَاتِ is a person who is conscious of his or her sexual morality. In other words, to guard your private parts. And here it means both. To avoid illicit sexual relations and to avoid improper behavior in dress, walk, and talk. For example, if a lady is at home and someone calls her husband, so a man is calling her husband to talk to her husband, she picks up the phone. Her husband's not there, she picks up the phone. Ahla sahlan. Kif al-hal? She is not allowed to sweeten her voice because this is a way of improper behavior in speech. Anything that could lead to this evil crime, to fornication, is haram. Likewise, the man can do the same thing. The man or woman that flirt, it's haram. So when Allah says, وَالْحَافِظِينَ فُرُوجَهُمْ وَالْحَافِظَاتِ, this means anything that gets you close to this evil sexual promiscuity. Anything. Whether in dress, speech, or talk. Or walk. So you've got to be very, very careful. And Allahu musta'an, what we witnessed today. And we do not want to get into it because we've got a lot to say and the time is beating us. And the last, Ya Subhi, Astaghfirullah al-Azim. وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرٌ وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ. I had to battle someone today, his doctor is too far away. So I can't, we've got to respect the doctor, you see. وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرٌ وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ. Those that engage much in Allah's remembrance. And dhikr here means that you always mention Allah Ta'ala. And dhikr in reality is when you put someone always in your mind. You always think about him. You remember him by the heart. Thus you mention him on your tongue. And generally when someone likes someone or likes something, what do? When they love something or someone, they keep talking about this person or about this thing. Oh, I got a new car today. And he wants to tell everyone. His friends, his family, his relatives, his everyone. And he starts patting his car. If a person likes a lady for marriage, he's got to tell all his friends. Likewise, a lady, when she's going to get it, when she gets a potential husband, she'll go tell all her friends when she loves this person or when he loves this person. But as Muslims, what do? Who do we love most? Isn't Allah Ta'ala in our hearts the most beloved? Is He the one that we love most? Thus, for this reason, we always have Him on our tongue. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar. Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Allahu Akbar. He's a believer. He's a dhakir. And she's a dhakirah. يا أبا ذاكرة It's a person who continuously remembers Allah Ta'ala. And the hadith mentions in Bukhari that those that remember Allah to those that do not, the comparison is that of the living and the dead. Another narration by At-Tirmizi mentions when a man came to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked him, "Oh Prophet, advise me." He said, "Do not let your mouth, your tongue cease from the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala." In Bukhari and Muslim, كلمتان خفيفتان على اللسان ثقيلتان على الميزان حبيبتان إلى الرحمن سبحان الله وبحمده وسبحان الله العظيم. Two statements that are light on the tongue to remember. These two statements, they are light on the tongue. They are heavy on the day of resurrection. In your scales, heavy on the scales. And they are dear to the most merciful. What are these two words? Subhanallahi al-azim wa subhanallahi wa bihamdi. Did you know every time you say subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, what happens? Who can tell me? Who can tell me every time a person utters subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, what happens? A castle? How big? Three or four story? It could be six story. A palm tree. You're a generous person, Ya Azad. A palm tree gets planted for this person in paradise. Every single time that you say, Subhanallah wa bihamdi. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. What a beautiful narration. This is in Tirmizi with a good chain. That every time you say Subhanallah wa bihamdi, you get a palm tree in paradise. How easy is it, Ya Yasin? Isn't that easy? You can even say it at your age. Another narration mentions that whoever says, La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir, 100 times per day. Look at this hadith. 100 times per day. You know what you get for it? You get the equivalent, the reward equivalent to freeing 10 slaves. You get 100 good deeds recorded to your credit. You get 100 sins blotted off your scroll. 100 sins. And that will be a guard, a shield for you to that night from the devil. How easy. What a beautiful day that person will have. Shaitan will not be able to even come close to him. You know, we take these for granted. It's right in front of us. The door of good deeds is there. Accept it. Apply it. Because you want to be وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ. You want to be in the narration that mentions سَبَقَ الْمُفَرِّدُونَ. قالوا يا رسول الله وما المفردون قال الذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات. The hadith mentions that al-mufarridun has beaten us, have went ahead of us. They said, who is al-mufarridun? He goes, those who frequently celebrate the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. And you can see the eminence this hadith highlights of frequent remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, and that on the day of resurrection he will be in front of many, many, many Muslims, many people, due to his frequent celebration of Allah Ta'ala in remembrance. And they are the 10 qualities that we mentioned. You should ask yourself, have you got these 10 qualities? Can I get these 10 qualities? You want victory? This is victory. You want salvation? This is salvation. You want successfulness? This is successfulness. Not all the times jihad. When you haven't even got these in your life, these qualities, have these before you even think of anything else. Especially in times of today, when the whole world seems to be fighting the Muslims, the true Muslims. The true Muslims. We should ask ourselves, what is Nasr? What is victory? What is real victory? And how can we be among the victorious, the successful? Well, we just mentioned it. To be a Muslim, a mu'min, a qanit, a sadiq, a sabir, a khashir, a mutasaddiq, a sa'im, hafidun lil farj, and dhakirullah. This is a true believer. This is a true Muslim. And we all know the companions of the trench. We won't, inshallah, delay you too long. The companions, the story of the companions of the trench. When the huge trench was dug, and then a huge fire was lit inside it. What for? For whom? To do a big barbecue? Yes, for a big barbecue. But who was the barbecue? Those that said, La ilaha illallah. That were the barbecue. Until they reached to a lady who had a baby in her arms. And she was hesitant, reluctant. I cannot jump in that fire. I'm going to hurt myself and the baby. She feared, and a mother always has remorse, feelings towards her child. No matter what her belief is, she will always have this. It's the thing, the nature of a lady of Allah has placed in her heart for her infant. But what happened then? When she was reluctant, look at this victory. Look at this successfulness. Look at this salvation. This is salvation, wallahi. The one, the Almighty, who made every creature speak, made that cradle boy speak. What did he say? Oh, mother, endure, be patient, persevere in this ordeal, for you are on the right path. In other words, mother, jump in this pit of salvation. Mother, jump in this pit of successfulness, for you are on the path of truth. Did she lose? Wallahi, if she did not jump in, she might have lost. Because it's not to be defeated by the enemy. Many people think, oh, we're defeated. Iraq's gone down. Afghanistan's gone down. Palestine's going down. You can never be defeated. Wallahi, you can never be defeated. If you have this victory in your heart. If you are defeated, that means you have left Islam. And this is the only time any human being can be defeated. When he denounces, La ilaha illallah. Oh mother, throw yourself in the fire. It's not fire, it's paradise. Throw yourself right now. Do not be reluctant to throw yourself in a pit of paradise. Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he got thrown off the catapult, he's flying in the air. Huge fire, burning for days. It's become black. Flying in the air. Did he start crying and yelling and shouting? When Jibril came and said, Yeah, Ibrahim, can I help you? He has helped me? You know. SubhanAllah, look at that faith. You know. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. How beautiful is that? Sufficient for me is not you, but the Almighty Lord. And He is the best disposer of all affairs. You know. Wallahi, this is victory. Wallahi, this is salvation. Wallahi, this is successfulness. And the enemies knew this. They could not defeat him. They could not waver his faith. Because he knew the meaning of La ilaha illallah. The lady, Al-Hamadiyya, the famous lady who committed adultery. Even though that the Almighty Lord concealed her adultery and no one found out of her adultery, she insisted confessing her sin and placing herself before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, pleading with him to purify her through stoning. Why? She wanted to sacrifice herself for the Almighty Lord and to undergo a repentance so pure it would have sufficed Allah's forgiveness to 70 of the people of Medina. And the 70 people of Medina were companions, not like us. Companions of those days. Which if one of them were to give a half a hand of wheat in charity, it would be better than us. All of us giving gold the size of Uhud in charity. it would have sufficed Allah's forgiveness to 70 of those companions. Why? Because she knew what victory means. She knew what salvation means. It is not to die. Salvation is to die on La ilaha illallah. And this is salvation. And the generation of those elite soldiers, the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What a generation. Which the Islamic Aqidah instilled in them. The truth of faith. It enlightened, illuminated their lives with the light of Tawheed, and they feared no one but the Almighty Lord. When you hear the mountains like Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, Abdullah ibn Salam, Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, Talha ibn Ubaidillah, Abdullah ibn Awam, Bilal. Allahu Akbar, they roar, the mountains roar when their names are mentioned. Khabbab, the family of Yasir. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, Umar al-Faruq, Uthman ibn Nurayn, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Abu Turab. These mentionings are not mentionings that are easy. When you hear this mention, the mountain will shake. As Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ayagas, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was standing on the mountain of Uhud. And next to him was Abu Bakr and Umar. And what did the mountain of Uhud do? It had Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it had Abu Bakr and Umar. It did not have Hassan on it. It had Abu Bakr and Umar and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It trembled. It started shaking. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to it, "Oh, mountain of Uhud, calm down. Take it easy. Relax. For you have a prophet and two martyrs on you." Allahu Akbar. It trembled due to the excitement of having those three great men. Because Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and then Umar, Abu Bakr, after all the messengers and prophets, he is the best man that walked the earth. And then Umar ibn Khattab came second after all the messengers and the prophets. But these believers, brothers and sisters, had a type of nasr, a type of victory that we are in dire need of today. Allah Ta'ala gave them the firmness of faith and the conviction to stick to the truth and not waver. And this type of nasr, wallahi, no one can ever defeat you. No one. No matter how many plots and means, no matter how secret and subtle that enemy's plot is directed specifically, which is directed specifically to the Muslims' thoughts, their primary goal is no other than to turn all of us, every Muslim, man and woman, from Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wallahi, will frustrate them in their hopes and nullify their plots, but when we are all sincere, obedient and upright on Islam. Listen to this beautiful verse. Inshallah, I'll end it with these last two verses. In Surah Ali Imran, وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْئًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ مُحِيطٌ. If you remain patient and you fear Allah Ta'ala, you be obedient to Allah Ta'ala, their plots will not affect you in the least. And Allah encompasses all that they do. You'll destroy their plots. That's as long as you aid yourself with the religion of Islam. And in Surah Muhammad, verse number 7. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن تَنْصُرُوا اللَّهِ يَنْصُرُكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ. O you who believe, if you help the cause of Allah Ta'ala, He will help you and He will make your feet firm, stable and grounded with victory. And we all know and it is known that the victory and hope of the Almighty Lord only comes by following that which He has prescribed, obeying His commands and abstaining from that which He prohibited.